Listening to WDRT. This is The Friendly Show. My name's Andrew. Thank you so much for being with me here this evening. And it's, as I said, The Friendly Show. And so that means I've got a friend with me. My friend this week is Steve Willis. Steve, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's so I'm so very happy to have you here. It is the first time that I've done this show back-to-back weeks. We started off on a kind of every other week cadence, to wanted to feel it out a little bit, you know, before I committed.
Yes.
But I'm committed now. And so it's the first of June, you
first
know.
First of June.
Summer's here. And yeah. So now it's like, it's a good time to spend an hour every Monday in the studio talking to people that I know from around town that are friends of mine. And I wanted to have you on because I think we have pretty similar musical tastes.
Yes.
And so you started off with a song from Morphine. This is from Cure for Pain. Obviously, the song is Cure for Pain. That's, what was that? That's like late 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic late 90s alternative. What are we calling that?
Yeah, I guess alternative.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It always, this time of year, I get reflective. I start thinking of my life and, you know, I always think Cure for Pain and I want to like spread the joy, right? So that is my cure for pain,
yeah,
is spreading love. So
right on.
Yeah, that's right, kind of,
and it's kind of easy this time of year too, right?
Because
it's like
very much,
you
so
know, it's like, what's one thing to talk about spreading joy in February when
yeah, the when sun does it to me,
right? Exactly. But this time of year, I mean, I was out walking before coming in here today, and just like, you know, I mean, I think I've talked about this already on the show, but there's like a level of green that you get through May, but then this last week, it's to a different level of, everything is so, like, it's so thick, the vegetation, that you just, like, you kind of can't believe your eyes when you look at it up close.
Yeah, it's Technicolor in real life, and then, yeah, just, it's the amazing time of year. We had a baby, a deer, a fawn, was born in our backyard.
Oh, really?
On Thursday.
Wow.
So that was,
okay,
you know, nature is doing its thing.
That's fantastic. Did the kids get to, like, witness?
Yeah, yes and no.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of chasing them off.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So they're no longer in our yard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's probably, I don't know if that's for the, I mean, I just worry about traffic, you know, but.
Yeah, I think we're far enough out that it's.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, you've got that nice green space back there. That's, yeah, what a wild thing to witness. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah. Well, it's a thing and it's happening.
Yeah, I when I was walking today, I walked past a very pregnant cow, which it's like seems like the wrong time of year for that. But I was surprised to see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how the milk is made.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about right off the top here is that you, of all the guests that I've had so far, have radio experience.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not totally this type of radio, but it may be a more conventional radio experience.
Yeah, I worked for a commercial radio station in West Central Iowa and quickly rose the ranks from just the afternoon country DJ to on the AM station.
Sure.
So I graduated to the FM. I did some farm broadcasting, so I read the markets. Had open, close, and I had wrap-up reports. Did produce my own show with other agronomists and professionals in farming, and I learned a lot. It was a really beautiful experience, but I ran out of, I guess, things to do in West Central Iowa, so I moved back to Minneapolis, where I met my bride-to-be.
Yeah.
And then that led us to Viroqua.
But, I mean, you did it for a while, right? It was a few years?
Yeah, it was 3+ years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you did that, so like one of the things for me, you know, having this show now, but the other show that I do on Wednesdays, Houston Snack, 3 to 5.
Check it out.
Is, you know, there's those weird moments where somebody will recognize you by your voice in public.
Yes.
Did that happen to you in the small town?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Mainly at the bank or at Hy-Vee.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. But, I mean, to me, here, it's always very positive. So I'm wondering if it was the same. Did anybody ever tell you that you played too much Merle Haggard or something?
No, it was mostly, maybe I pronounced the town name wrong, you know.
So. Not the town you were in, I presume.
No, but the surrounding area.
Sure,
yeah. Because we had a very vibrant... let's say, what would they call it? It was essentially like a buy and sell segment where you'd read so-and-so selling this we get a call from the sheriff that there was a bull loose on Highway 27
right
between town of Schleswig and, you know.
Right. And whatever. so now you're working out these town names that are German or, you know, Czech in origin.
Yes.
But then not pronounced the way that they're pronounced in Germany.
Correct.
It's the check. Yeah. So,
you got to figure it out. And then part of that is living it and then making the mistakes.
But yeah. Sometimes people correcting you in the Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I was with some friends last night talking about this exact thing, like the number of places around here that, you know, have a pronunciation that when you first look at it and make your guess, you're often, you know, like Muscadet, Muscoda, you know, I think that's one that gets a lot of people. Gotham, yes. You know, that's a big one.
Sophia?
Yeah, that's actually the one that started us.
Yes.
Was that there was a little bit of a difference in opinion on how even that was pronounced. And then there was a question of the correct pronunciation. And I was like, I don't really know or care.
Right.
But some people do.
So I grew up partly in Missouri.
Sure.
But we say Missouri, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
But there was towns like Nevada, spelled Nevada.
Yep.
Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was used to names appearing as one thing, and
It's a very Midwestern phenomenon. Yeah, I mean the one that I remember the most from my childhood in Ohio is there's a Versailles in Ohio, but it's Versailles.
Sure. It's like Des Moines.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, yeah, there is French pronunciation available, but you know you don't have to necessarily. Hue to that, and the one I was thinking of, and I just want to say it because it's a town name that I think about a lot, is Maquoketa. I just wanted to say it on the radio.
That's a great name.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. So shout out. I know it seems almost impossible that anybody's listening there, but you know if you are, shout out to you. All right, let's play some more music. So you've got another one up here next, and this is a Beck song, Deborah, an all-time classic in my opinion.
Yeah, this actually became part of my post-concert lexicon. Let's say if you're leaving a big show,
mm-hmm.
you roll the windows down, you play Deborah, and you sing it to the top of your
right, like in the capacity. Like as you're like yeah. in the parking lot,
yes.
everybody's walking to their cars around you, and
it was started by a dear friend of mine who okay. has passed.
Okay,
so it's like I feel like I carry this torch with me every summer. I look forward to it, and then
yeah.
I had the pleasure of last summer going to a concert at the Driftless Music Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
No free shout outs. And one of the bands covered.
Oh, Deborah. Sure. Perfect.
It was like
that's a full circle moment.
Very much so.
Yeah. All right. So this is Deborah from Beck, and then I've got one after that that I'll talk about when we come back. Let's jump back into the music here.
Got to get with
Girl, you drive me crazy. Oh, lovely lady. Girl, you drive me crazy. Crazy. Yeah. Oh, I'm your sister. Driving me crazy. Sympathy for you, girl. Yeah. Cause I'm a full-grown man, and I'm not afraid to. It's the Friendly Show on WDRT, and you got to respect a long fade out. Santana with that one went with the real long fade out, so we had to hang on there for a minute. That's Samba Pati from Abraxas. It's probably their best album, I would say.
It is very good.
Yeah. So we were talking while we were listening to that. The music that you shared with me ahead of doing this show is kind of summer music, you know, stuff that you listen to. Like you were telling the story about Deborah and you know, going to concerts and doing that in the summer and Windows Down music, that sort of thing. And I kind of picked up on that. And so this song was one that the year that I got into Santana was the year between high school and college.
Sure.
And so I was working at grew up in rural Ohio. So I was working at a canoe livery I didn't even have a good job. I had the job. I was the guy that sat at the canoe landing, 10 miles down the river, and then looked for our boats, because not everybody stopped there. Some people kept going.
That's right.
But our people all stopped, and so if they didn't stop, you had to go get them.
Right.
So that was my job.
Did you have a flag to wave?
No, just my shirt. Yeah, I had a shirt. I still have the branded cutoff from 26 years ago.
I thought I recognized that.
Mohican Valley Canoe Rental. But I got in, you know, I was into Santana in general, and that song specifically was like my driving home after work.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a very curvy, beautiful road that went through like kind of a state park area. And so it was a great way to like end the day as the sun's setting and stuff like that. And so that song has a deep resonance for me in, at this point, distant past, I'll say.
Okay. I would say so distant. But
thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
I mean, it's a summer tune for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, all of their music is, right? That's very much their energy. But that one specifically for me is really tied to just like Windows Down and the type of song that you're just like, well, I listened to it. I'm going to listen to it again now. You know, you just kind of keep squeezing it for all it's worth. So
well, it's got I like the slow build and then a time change. It's and then the drums are amazing. The guitar is great. It's like, what more could you want?
No, I agree. I think it's pretty much a perfect song. We were talking also during the break about their Woodstock performance.
Yes.
And watching the Woodstock concert film. I don't, not every year, but occasionally, you know, every few years, especially like if we get like an extended stretch of very hot weather and it's like, I'm not going out, you know, that sort of thing. Then it's like, it's a good way to avoid the weather is to like lay in your dark house and watch a hilariously long movie.
Correct.
You know, and the Woodstock documentary really meets that standard.
And you
right?
see the birth of granola and the whole thing, you know?
Exactly. And it's, you know, obviously it takes place in summer. So there's like a little bit of like, you see, it's like you're there, you know, you can kind of sympathize. Watching it in the winter, it's like, well, I don't know what's going on here. So that's one of my favorite. But I'm wondering if you have, is there like a concert film for you that you've gone back to a few times that is like, because I think one of the things I love about the Woodstock documentary is that as crazy as that is and as different as that is from any concert experience I've ever had, I think the film is well made enough that you can imagine yourself there.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the tough one, because I feel like now with, you know, they have streaming services that you can now essentially couch tour.
Right.
Where you never have to leave the comforts of your domicile.
Mm-hmm.
But in those films, they're just strict concert footage.
Right.
Right? There's no human element other than the
which is what
playing.
Makes that so wild is the interviews. The interviews with the people that are local.
Right, right.
You know, and like them, everybody having like an opinion about, what do you think about all these hippies showing up in your town, you know?
Well, could you only imagine?
I mean, genuinely, I can. And I think about it, you know, because it's not dissimilar from, you know, some of the stuff that happens here, right? I mean, on a different scale, obviously.
Yes,
but
like just the proximity to New York City versus what we have here.
Right, but there's, I mean, I think it's a conflict that we see here a little bit between people that have grown up here and have, you know, long lineage here and then some of the people that are newer to the area.
Yeah, I don't know if I have like a go-to concert film that I rewatch. I usually, I do tend to dabble into watching like shows or mainly listening because I don't have the the freedom to sit down and watch, right. but I can definitely listen. So,
yeah.
But oddly enough, so my buddy's uncle, mm-hmm. from Baltimore, Maryland, he is the guy that painted the light VW bus. So it's a famous Woodstock bus is what it's called. But like he painted it. He was like on the forefront of the art car movement.
Okay.
And he also gave me, I'm pretty sure he gave me a bandana that was from Willie Nelson and then told me a bunch of other stuff about maybe Bob Marley.
Sure.
And I think he gave me something else. It was like a tincture that was made from somebody's sweat or something. I was like, okay. So Dr. Bob is still alive and well.
Okay.
He's an interesting cat.
All right. I mean, listen, I shouted out the town of Maquoketa, so you can definitely shout out Dr. Bob. I feel like that's definitely in line.
And he's also, like, I guess the world's foremost authority on the reverse seal, like the seal that's on the back of a $1 bill, like the pyramid with the eye.
Sure.
He's like the authority.
Really?
On that, supposedly.
Wow.
It was a fun night.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like I got to get Dr. Bob on the show.
he's a good interview. I guarantee it.
All right, well, we'll see if we can pull some strings there.
Well, I know a guy.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, well, I want to play some more music here. I want to make sure that we've got a lot of music to get through, so I want to make sure we get to all of it. And we're going to start off with another one of mine, and this is in the same vein. This is a tune called Back on the Track from Jimmy McGriff. This is one of my first, you know, albums that I really got into that I kind of wore out was a Blue Note compilation disc called Rare Grooves, which was like a compilation of a lot of the soul jazz stuff from like the late 60s, early 70s that got sampled by hip hop artists. Yes.
Like Madlib and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
And I know this album.
Yeah. It's a seminal album for me. I think one of the best jazz albums ever produced, because they didn't just pick the stuff that made the best samples. They picked the best songs that happened to have been sampled,
Yeah.
And so I had to play a track from that, because that, again, one that I listen to a ton every summer. I mean, I listen to it a ton all the time, but specifically, you know, it's feel-good music, so it's summertime music. And so we're going to play a track off of that, and then we'll be back in just a minute here on The Friendly Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Set adrift on memory bliss of you.
It's The Friendly Show on WDRT. My name is Andrew. Thank you so much for joining me here. I'm joined by Steve Willis, and that was one of yours, Steve. That was Set Adrift on Memory Blues.
Bliss.
And Bliss. Sorry. Yep. You know what? My eyesight, not what it used to be, buddy.
Understood.
And the artist there is PM Dawn, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's a new one to me. I mean, I recognize some of the samples, but...
Yeah. So, that was like early 90s, probably like 1990. I think my earliest memory of that song is probably like, because my family did not have MTV, but my grandparents did. And every time I'd be at their house, we'd watch MTV. And I feel like the summer of 90 had so many good music videos.
Yes.
And this
yes.
reminds me of going to the pool.
Yep.
It was always on, you know, the pool music
mm-hmm.
was large and in charge. And
yep.
just sends me back to definitely summertime.
That is such a specific memory that you unlocked from me,
yes,
talking about that, watching MTV in the summer because you're on vacation someplace that is not your house where you don't have MTV.
That's right.
For me, it was a beach house in New Jersey.
So for the kids at home, MTV...
No. There's no. Don't worry. There's nobody listening to this show.
Well, it's like MTV is was a channel that...
Right. No, I mean...
Had nothing but music.
If we... You know, we're trying for a different demographic, we'd have to explain. But one of the things about this show is that it's very clearly aimed at people who know what MTV is.
Okay, all right.
same exact experience. My great aunt, Joan, owned a beach house in Long Beach Island, New Jersey.
Yes.
So we would drive from Ohio to New Jersey, like 12 hours on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Rough justice, right?
Yes.
But then we'd be there for a week. And, you know, you'd go to the beach, but then, I mean, you can only do so much at the beach. So then you'd end up, you know, sitting in the upstairs, you know, no air conditioning, very hot. It smells like a closet the whole time, right? I'm going to watch Alanis Morissette videos.
Sounds just like my grandparents' house. Theirs was in Missouri.
But all of this stuff is pretty much the same. There's a uniformity of experience here, I think. Yeah. This really places it in time. It was the Soundgarden music video for Black Hole Sun.
Okay. Yeah.
That summer. And that, like, there's in my memory, I don't remember very clearly, but there's like a lot of, like, I want to say melting.
Yes.
Dolls melting.
Yes.
Something along
like faces,
those lines.
Faces, I think.
Faces and, yes. Contort. Yeah, right, exactly. And I just remember being like young enough where I was like, I don't know if I like the way that makes my brain feel.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Chris Cornell is supposed to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I honestly, I think that kind of put like, those early experiences kind of put like a hard cap on like how much edgier like music I was willing to listen to, because it was like doesn't feel as nice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah, I think.
So.
My early CD collecting, it was like, I think the first CD I ever received was the Ren and Stimpy.
Yes.
Album.
Yeah.
And then.
And they veered into that a little bit at times where you're just like, what am I looking at?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then. I think my second was Garth Brooks, which felt more like safe.
Yeah, certainly.
And then from there it was like Pearl Jam, Vitalogy.
Yep.
And then certainly. It was like, okay, we're back into this more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's a sort of feeling rock. With all of that stuff where you're like, this is just strange, and I know I'm not getting it. You know, like there's something here I'm not getting.
Right.
And I don't like that I don't know what's going on. I don't like that I can't understand it. And I wish I understood it, but also I'm a little creeped out by the fact that I don't understand it, and I would like it to be simpler.
Yes.
That was at least my experience of it as like probably a preteen, I guess.
Yeah.
Feels like this is probably 1994, I'm going to guess.
Yeah,
95,
I had,
maybe?
I spent most of my adolescent life in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I had this like infatuation with being a surfer, so I used to get surfing magazines. I'd also subscribe to like mountain biking magazines.
Have you ever surfed?
No.
You still haven't?
No.
Oh, man.
Bummer. Old dog, new tricks.
Well, sure. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know.
I like the ocean.
Bodyboard? Boogie board?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll call it good.
Surfing. Yeah.
No, I agree, man. I that's like, that is it's another world.
Right. And then, you know, being landlocked and then.
Sure.
You know, just kind of like, what's like outside of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, as I got older, it's like Omaha became like kind of like a place to be,
yeah,
which is also weird. But yeah, it's nice to, I guess, as you grow up, knowing that, you know, there's more to life than just the middle of America, right? There's different experiences here, there, everywhere.
Yeah.
I do find, especially like this community, it feels like home.
Yeah.
But it has more to offer. There's like you said, like the greenness that you were describing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Nebraska in the winter is mostly just like gray days.
Yeah.
It's not really snow cover. It's
right.
Just windy, gray.
Yeah.
Misery.
Yeah. A lot more open spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Here it's like there's beauty in, mm-hmm. even in the winter.
I agree.
And
yeah,
but now it's like,
yeah,
jaw dropping.
Right? Yeah, no, I mean, I it's so, something that I, you know, I talk to a lot of people that don't live in Wisconsin, haven't lived in Wisconsin. You know, my the work you know takes me out of state a lot. I work with a lot of people who don't live in the state, and you try and explain to them what is the appeal of Wisconsin, and you basically, to me, it's just June.
Yeah.
Like, truly. Yeah. Like, you know, we can talk about the rest of it, but honestly, like, if you're trying to boil it down, it's that we get around, you know, what, a month to 6 weeks of weather that is better than the weather anywhere else in the country.
That's, I would agree.
In my humble opinion.
I would, well, it all depends on where you live in Wisconsin, though.
That's true. I'm talking about here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about Viroqua. Right. Yeah.
Because, yeah. you know, July, you just go a little bit further north.
That's right. Yeah, you just sneak
August, up. August,
yeah.
you just go a little bit further north. Right?
That's true. That, you could extend it through the entire summer. Exactly. Yeah, that would be the cheat code that we're sharing here today. okay, so this next one that we're going to listen to is, I mean, when you put this on the list, I was like, well, yeah, obviously we're going to listen to this. This is Castles Made of Sand, Jimi Hendrix. You know, again, a lot of overlap in our musical tastes.
Yes.
One of the formative albums for me, specifically Access Bold as Love. I think I would argue, you know, just in terms of like a total package, the you know, his sort of most complete artwork.
Yes, yeah. I would agree. I think the band is just on it.
Yep.
And then you just this song kind of represents this, you know, death and you know, like the time is finite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sand castles do return to the sea, and
yeah,
you know, there's always this kind of this rebirth, but then death, and then rebirth, and death, and it's kind of like seasonality, and
definitely,
it just, yeah, it hits me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. It's a poignant song, and that's one of the reasons that I love it. So let's jump in and listen to that now. This is The Friendly Show on WDRT.
And she slams the door in his drunken face. And now he stands outside, and all the neighbors start to gossip and drool. He cries, oh girl, you must be mad. What happened to the sweet love you and me had? Against the door he leans and starts a scene, and his tears fall and burn a garden green. And so castles made of sand fall in the sea eventually. A little Indian brave who, before he was 10, played war games in the woods with his Indian friends. And he built a dream that when he grew up, he would be a fearless warrior, Indian chief. Many moons passed, and more the dream grew stronger, till tomorrow he would sing his first war song and fight his first battle. But something went wrong. Surprise attack killed him in his sleep that night. And so castles made of sand melts into the sea eventually. There was a young girl whose heart was a frown, cause she was crippled for life, and she couldn't speak a sound, and she wished and prayed she could stop living, so she decided to die. She drew a wheelchair to the edge of the shore, and to her leg she smiled, "You won't hurt me no more." But then a sight she never seen made her jump and say, "Look, a golden winged ship is passing my way." And it really didn't have to stop, it just kept on going. And so castles made of sand slips into the sea eventually.
It's the Friendly Show on WDRT. My name's Andrew. I'm here with my friend Steve, and we are going to wrap the show up here, but I did want to just say that was Chub Sub by the great Modesky Martin and Wood. We were talking about them while we were listening to it, and one of the best bands to see live. I don't know that they... Are they still playing together
these
days?
Not that I know of, no.
Yeah, I think those days are gone.
All three still play. They just don't play together necessarily.
You know what?
They might have had a one-off recently in New York.
Uh-huh.
Like this year, but it's not. They don't tour.
I could see a farewell tour, though. You know what I mean?
For sure.
That could happen. Them and Scofield at some point. That feels possible. But another favorite of mine, another great summer song, I would say, if you're just driving around and, you know, grooving out. So we've got that one. And then I want to tee up your last song here so we can get it in before we got to go. But talk a little bit about this one. This is Fade Into You, the cover of the Mazzy Star song. This is Jay Maskus.
Yes. From Dinosaur Jr. fame. But I've had the opportunity to see him a couple times live where he just plays a solo acoustic and blew me away with the cover of this song. You know, you hear Fade Into You and you think, man, this can't be beat. And then he beat it, I feel like, you know, like, for me, he got the high score.
So. There is that thing of like a particularly well done cover can maybe uncover something in the original that wasn't entirely apparent to the person that made it the first time. And so it kind of takes it to a new level.
Right.
I think there's a few examples of that. It actually would be a great organizing principle for putting a show together. So something to think about for the future. But that will wrap up the show today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Steve, for joining me.
Thanks for asking me, Andrew.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man.
If anything, radio is better with friends, man.
That's right. Yeah, and that, you know what? That's the tagline of the show going forward. Radio is better with friends. That's why we're here. And we thank you all for listening. So this is Fade Into You. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you back here next week. Every Monday at 6, it's The Friendly Show.
Fade into Strange.